All right. I always get a lot of people messaging me, asking me how I find the best deals for my flips and my long-term and short-term rentals. Well, I'm going to tell you how I do it. I direct source properties utilizing a company called PropStream. PropStream is an amazing, amazing platform. It allows the user to combine any number of criteria and extract a list of properties that meets an exact investment profile. They have nationwide coverage for all kinds of cool, you know, lists like pre-foreclosures, bank-owned properties, high equity, vacant properties, tax, IRS, utility liens, and so on and so forth. It is just such an incredible platform. I mean, you know, this is how I locate my on and off market properties. I generate lead lists. I vet my properties. I assess my risk, calculate feasibility, and so on. Like, if you guys aren't using PropStream, you really, really should. So go to https://trial.propstreampro.com/REI Society. So basically, trial.propstreampro.com/REI Society. And that's going to get you a 7-day free trial. Go ahead and sign up today. Welcome and hello, everybody. This is the REI Society podcast, where we are informing you everything real estate and business related so that you can be successful in REI investing. We're sharing the tools, tips, and stories from people who have already made it. And my name is Brandon Thompson, your host. Each week, we'll bring extraordinary guests so that you can learn real estate from the best.
All right, guys, in this episode, I am going to talk about living below your means and how I track my expenses. As you guys know, I do probably 60 flips a year. My prior business, we were upwards between 100 to 150 a year. And it's not that hard, really. I mean, you know, but we're not going to talk about flipping specifically, but my main business is flipping. I do have quite a few rentals. I built those back up again. I have several short-term rentals. And a lot of people use spreadsheets for tracking their expenses. I think that's just crap. I can't do spreadsheets. I mean, I'm guessing if you're going to do 3 or 4 homes a year, maybe spreadsheets would work. But you really need some kind of accounting software. You need to know your numbers. Now, I do have a spreadsheet where I can do a before analysis and an after analysis of a property that I am flipping, just so I can identify problems. I'm going to plug in all of the numbers for the expenses and so on. That way I can track the closing costs and just have it really broke down in a quick view format. But for the most part, bookkeeping software is the way to go. Like, look, guys, if you're not doing the bookkeeping software, like utilizing like QuickBooks or something else, you're really doing yourself a disservice. This allows you to keep track of each and every individual expense, and you can really see your balance sheet and your cash flow and profit and losses and things like that. So you can watch your company grow, even if it's just you or you and a partner. It's just very valuable to have. So I would highly encourage you to use some kind of software. I personally use QuickBooks Online. Some people like it, some people don't. There are other bookkeeping services out there, but it is the best thing I've found for my business. And I've been using QuickBooks almost from the beginning. Probably for the first 4 years, I was doing spreadsheets the last 12 years I've been utilizing QuickBooks, and they keep getting better and more better each year. Problem is, their prices are rising. So I may be looking into somebody else soon. I don't know. But I did want to bring that out there to you guys. Now, living below your means, I meant to say. Episode 25, I thought to talk to you guys about what you can do in this coronavirus economy. Some of the tactics I utilized in the recession in 2008, and I'm still adapting today. I don't know if I personally live below my means or not. I've got plenty of money, but that comes from 17 years of experience. And to be quite honest with you, I've got plenty of capital at my disposal. So I just kind of do what I want. I go get my Starbucks. Well, I go get a coffee. I get an iced coffee, whether it's from Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks or this cute little coffee shop in our little downtown square area. I'm going to get my iced coffee every afternoon. You know, if I want something, I'm going to buy it. If I want to go on a vacation, I'm going to go on a vacation. Well, that was before COVID-19, but we would go on a vacation every 90 days. You know, we go work hard for 90 days and then we play hard for a week, 2 weeks on some kind of international vacation 4 times a year. That was flipping awesome. And I can't wait for that to come back. I think this October we're going to Morocco. Next year we're going to Greece. Probably going to put some other destinations on the board, depending on what happens with this virus and state of the globe, all across the globe. But with that said, I'm a proponent of living below your means and delaying your gratification, even though I'm not doing it now. I did it back in the day. The first 7 years of my business, I was making good money and I was spending it, and I didn't have money in a bank. I didn't have a lot of assets that could back me up and offset me in the case of an emergency. Now I do, like I said, but when I lost everything in 2008, between 2008 to 2012, I was very, very frugal. And that stems probably from having my back pushed up against the wall and losing everything, learning along the way, the school of hard knocks. But it was something that was really, really, it was just a tough, hard life lesson to learn. So I did become frugal. And excuse me, I just got to the point where we would cook more at home when I was making a lot less income. We would cook more at home. I wasn't necessarily eating the healthiest of foods, but I was working out. I didn't have gym memberships back then. I would, you know, go run. I would ride my bike a lot more. So some of the free activity back in the day, that would help me out instead of gym memberships. I did buy a coffee if I wanted to, though. Like if I have my heart set on a coffee, I'm not going to deny myself of something that I really enjoy. I will just limit it so that I won't have it every day, kind of like I do now. I'm a big coffee lover. But I would, back then in 2009, after I lost everything, and I went from $150,000 a year at that time to less than $30,000 a year the next time, a year over, I would still go get me a coffee from time to time. Dave Ramsey, and I'm not knocking him, Dave Ramsey teaches on living like nobody does so that you can live like nobody else can. And that's good for an employee mindset. If you are going to work 40 hours a week, work for a wage, and give the cares of the world to your boss and manager and go home on the weekends and never think about work again and then go back Monday morning, that's the kind of advice you need to take, because it's going to be a little bit tougher. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but it's going to be a little bit, I wouldn't say tougher, it's going to be a little bit slower to build wealth, and you need to manage your money. But I'm talking to the entrepreneurs out there, which is probably most of you guys listening to this podcast. If you are an entrepreneur and you have a means to make money quicker and you can compound it faster, even though you haven't got the capital in the bank account or the mass wealth that you hope to have one day, it's still okay to go get you a new pair of shoes. If you want a $150 pair of shoes, it's okay to get your latte. It's going to cost a latte. Like I said, I would recommend it to be more sporadic than an everyday thing, but it's okay to splurge as long as you're not doing it often. So living under your means, another thing that you can do is to rent if you can't buy. If you can buy and you have great credit, I would recommend buying, especially if you're in a lower priced point market, kind of like mine. Atlanta, Georgia is getting expensive, but it's less expensive compared to like a Los Angeles or a New York City. If owning is cheaper than renting, I would say that why wouldn't you just rent? I mean, why wouldn't you just own and pay the mortgage payment for a few years and then sell it later on down the road? And in the meantime, you've been paying down principal, as well as within 2 out of the last 5 years, when you go to sell it, whatever gains you make, you don't even have to pay taxes on it, income-wise, up to a certain point. And I think that's wise.
All right, guys, this sponsor is REI Society itself. REISociety.com Mastermind is where I want you to go as soon as we get done with this episode. Or go ahead and book the link right now on your phone or laptop, wherever you're listening to this. This is where I'm doing a 30-day real estate investment virtual bootcamp mastermind. It combines the exact strategies I've used to triple my income and design my real estate career. It's a virtual mastermind about creating clarity, taking massive action, and getting tangible results. There's no travel required. You can do everything from the comfort of your smartphone or laptop. What I do need from you is full engagement towards the realizations of your goals. You're going to learn about wholesaling, flipping, rentals, and short-term rentals. Basically, creating income from thin air while never utilizing your own money. Learn how to, you know, determine values correctly, work with contractors without getting hurt, design a home quickly and to sell a property quickly like a pro. Learn how to use the Burr method and build a long-lasting portfolio so that you can have passive income and create long-lasting wealth. And then how to build a multi-million dollar portfolio and how to become a five-star super host quickly in short-term rentals if you're interested in that side of the game. We'll help you set up your office, your digital office, set up marketing so you can get more leads, acquisitions, finance, construction, management, liquidations, and you also get a 30-day mentorship by yours truly and my wife, Tiffany, in a closed Facebook group. You're going to get all my documents, all my lenders, everything. Go to reisociety.com/mastermind right now and sign up today. And right now, because of these unprecedented times, we're giving a 20% discount on our cost of the classes. Thank you.
Now, if you're in a market where renting is cheaper or there's not enough housing, maybe that's a smarter idea. Don't spend more than 33% of your income. Here's the thing. When you're talking about housing, most lenders say that it's okay to spend 50% of your income towards bills, meaning housing, cars, any kind of credit card, and so on. I'm recommending to you, if you're listening to me, and I'm no financial expert, but if you're listening to me, I wouldn't spend more than 33% of your income towards bills and housing and automobiles and such. The reason why is because economies shift and markets expand and decline. It's always going to fluctuate. And if you have 33% going towards life, 33% going to savings, and then 33% paying for stuff that you are excited about, and maybe you're, let's just say you're tithing 10% out of that 33%, you know, giving it to charitable causes or a church or whatever you want to do, that just, it helps you grow your financial wealth even faster. So here's what I do today, and I was doing it back in the days when I lost everything. I was putting, and I'm not saying you guys need to do this, but I was, any money I made, say that $30,000 in that first year out of bankruptcy, $3,000 or 10% would go towards charitable contributions. I would put money away to help feed orphans in a different environment. I would help take care of widows. I would help give grocery money, like a gift of alms. If I felt bad for somebody and they needed something, like I would set 10% aside, and I would dissect a little bit of that to help people. And then I would give money to my local church or ministry that I was involved in. I would put 10% into a savings account. Actually, I was putting a little bit more, but I would put 10% on paper into my savings account and a little bit into a brokerage account. And then that 80% that was left, I made sure that life was taken care of and my rent payment and my car payment. If I was looking at it again today, I would say dissect it in threes. Like I said, 33% going towards housing and your bills, 33% going towards your savings so that you can grow wealthier faster, and 33% towards what you want and, you know, have a little tithe money, 10% out of that 33%. So leave 23% for yourself, 10% to some kind of charitable organization so that you can give back. I think this will help you grow that much faster. And the reason why is you're just going to have to learn how to delay your gratification. Yeah, you can have the nice house, 6,000 square foot on 3 acres with a saltwater pool. And maybe you can afford it, but it's taking 40% of your income. no, don't do it. Amidst an environment like COVID-19, it's tough. Make sure that whatever you do, you are leaving yourself and some kind of, you're leaving yourself some kind of safety net. Because I remember in 2008, I was making really good money with real estate, but then it stopped. I think I might have sold in 2008, maybe 3 properties in 1 year. And that was me doing everything in my power to sell a home. I think the longest home I had on the market was 18 months representing a seller. I lost everything, so I was representing sellers, trying to make a commission. It was tough. The slowest sell I had was 11 months. The fastest sell I had was 11 months. So it can become tough if you don't have money in the bank. So I didn't have money in the bank back then. I just lost everything and didn't have money in the bank. So I had to go work like a dog for $30,000 for that first year until some of those commissions start coming in. And then I started practicing my investment real estate again. So my advice is to maybe apply yourself in a snowball effect. And you can read more about that in Dave Ramsey's Total Money Makeover. I'm not saying all this stuff is bad advice. Actually, in actual reality, it is really good advice for people who need to be on a budget and people who live in corporate America lifestyles. For an entrepreneur, you can mold those lessons and allow yourself to have a coffee or, you know, a splurge dinner once every couple of weeks if you want to. But let's talk about living under your means a little bit more. All your friends are going to some kind of international trip. Let's say they're going to the Caribbean and you want to go, but it's going to take away a little bit more money than what's in that reserve that we've identified already. No, just say no. It sucks. But I'm telling you, if you delay your gratification, you're not going to get rich overnight, but you will over time become independently wealthy. And then maybe within 10, 20 years, you'll really start seeing that wealth compounding and building for you faster. Here's the thing. Life isn't easy. And you can't get rich quick most of the time. I know some people do, but 99% of the time, that's not how money works. You have to put your hands on something, and all hard work leads to profit. Smarter work leads to more profit. Mere talk and sitting on the sidelines saying you're going to do something, that leads to poverty. So get out there and do something. And don't worry about staying in line every single time, especially if you're an entrepreneur. You want something, go bless your little heart and go get it. But just don't do it as often. And then one day when you're in my shoes, you can sit here and just go buy anything you want. A nice new book that came out that you really want to read, go grab it. Nice pair of shoes, go grab it. You want to go get a new vehicle? As long as it's reasonable in your budget, go get it. I don't say no to myself often, but I still do say no. I would love to have this awesome four-door AMG amped up flipping Mercedes vehicle. It's going to cost me $100,000, but no. I've got a $50,000 older AMG vehicle. I've got a little pickup truck I ride around in. Instead of going buying a $70,000 pickup truck when I'm driving to my flip properties, I still say no. I still delay my gratification because the finances, this really doesn't make sense. Why would I waste my money when I have something that is working and so on? Now, maybe in, let's say, 10 more years, I've compounded my wealth even more. I have more income coming in and I want to go buy a $100,000 car. Hell yeah, I'll go buy a freaking $100,000 car if I just want to. Maybe by then I won't want it. I don't know. But delaying the gratification is really key, guys. So we've been all over the board here. We'll wrap up by saying this. As an entrepreneur, a real estate entrepreneur, get out there. Do the Gary Vee thing. Hustle. Put your hands to something and don't sit on the sidelines and just talking. All hard work leads to profit. Mere talk leads to poverty. Get out there and put your hands on something and you will be prosperous and blessed. And if you want a freaking coffee, go get a freaking coffee. You want a pair of shoes? Go get a freaking pair of shoes. You want a vehicle? Get you a vehicle if it's reasonable. Here's the thing. Only you can define what's reasonable for you. And maybe you want to do that 33-33-33 method like I do. I guess there's another 1% in the 100% there. I didn't identify what to do with that. Do something with it. Use that 1% to go splurge on a freaking call. Talk to you later.